Those in low places are looking up, for their redemption draweth nigh. My glory has been in pockets in the earth, but that glory is beginning to expand. And as it expands, it's beginning to make contact with other pockets of glory. And there's a connectedness beginning to occur that hasn't been for a long time. For people are coming together. They're not saying we are of this faith or we're of this group or of this bunch, but they're coming together. We are the children of God. That glory is beginning to flow from one spot to another. And it doesn't seem to be separate or distinct, but there's a unifying. There's a coming together. For it all comes and flows from my spirit, declares God. For you did not create this thing. Neither are you alone in what you are experiencing. But it is increasing and increasing in the earth, to where it will be that even the deniers will have to submit, because it's the way that it is. And their voice, even though they shout against the darkness, their voice will be silenced because of my glory. For when my glory comes, it quenches the evil tongue. And it quenches those who disclaim me, says the Lord. For there is silence in my presence. And there is goodness. There is a goodness that flows from my throne into the earth. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, shetepada kasada. Roto da bahasada nakate. Shina mada kasada nakate. Seek to find your way into that goodness. This is not the time of abandoning fellowship. It is the time of coming together. It is that time of coming together to renew your faith, to renew your spirit, to renew your life in me, declares God. And it is a time when those who come together, oh, they'll experience a flow. They'll experience an anointing. They'll experience all these things. And those who sit on the outside will say, I don't know what's going on, because they're not in the river. They're not in the river of life. They think if they just put their feet in, oh, it'll carry them away. Oh, no, it won't. You've got to go in ankle deep, knee deep, thigh deep, until you go in over your head. For when you're in over your head, that's when my spirit, my river, can cause you to flow in the way that I desire. And you will find that way of peace and that will of knowing. And you will begin to do things that you never imagined possible. And you'll find out it's not you doing it, it's the Christ in you that is causing all these things to come to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Shira Mahasada. Praise you. Did I not tell you in my word? Have I not spoken it, says the Lord, that my glory shall cover the earth? Oh, yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Okay, were you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Word of God? Let's quote our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians 2. 14 says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And the Lord dealt with me this morning to have a shorter message, but I think it's going to be longer than 15 minutes. But I'm going to, can I just jump to a couple highlights maybe and try to get out closer to the time. This is a year of transition. And it's a year of transition for transformation. And this morning while I was praying about this, one of the things that got me is if we are not willing to be changed, to be transitioned in our life, then we cannot reach that point of transformation. One of them I see, and this is kind of what one of my couple themes in the message this morning was going to be, that we have focused so individually on our faith that we've lost sight of the corporate. We individually need to transition so that the corporate can be transformed. See, we're trying to transform everything around us, but we're not transitioning in our own lives. We're not growing, we're not increasing individually or in what we give to the fellowship. And then we're wondering, well, why doesn't more happen? And it's individual, but yet it's corporate. You know, if in a workplace, if everyone does their job, the corporate gets blessed because everybody's functioning. At Walmart, they have greeters, or at least people assigned to sit at the doors, and, you know, they're supposed to greet. And a lot of times, if they're not doing their job, I walk in, and it's just like, well, they're just sitting there having a conversation. They don't even know I'm here. And I keep thinking, I am paying, if I buy anything, I am paying their salary. And see, that's the corporate. They're so caught up in themselves, they don't understand. They're making a contribution to the store, and the better, the greater their contribution of service to the store, the more customers they will draw in, the business will increase, and either more people will be hired or they'll get a salary increase. And so we don't often see that connection. When we think about religion, so often we think, well, if I do something bad, God is going to get me. We need to switch our thinking around. If I do the right thing, God will bless me. You know, but we've got our sights so much on the negative, we're afraid to do anything because we might do it wrong, and because we're not thinking about if we do it right or do it well, it's going to cause increase to everybody around me. And see, we're so focused on the individual, we're missing the corporate anointing. How many of you understand a corporate anointing? When we come together at church, there is a corporate anointing. There is a corporate presence of God, and we all add to that. I've been in some services, and praise God, some with you, where it's just like it is hard to quit preaching because you are drawing. It's just like you're like a vacuum sometimes. And if I keep going, you'll just keep drawing. But then there's other places where you go in where you're anointed, and the presence of God is with you, and everybody just sits there like, when is this going to get over with? And there's no draw, so you just go through your 7 points and close the book and go home. I know you're supposed to have 3. I usually have 7 to 10, you know. But let's just keep you on your toes. But do you understand what I'm saying? You can be blessed individually, but there's and you can walk in a knowing about God to a certain level. But when we come together as a corporate anointing, and God's able to do things for you that He can't do privately because He needs the corporate anointing to do that. The Bible puts it this way: one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put more than 1,000 to flight. No, two put 10,000 to flight. I mean, just think about it. One will put 1,000, two will put 10,000. I'm not that good at math, but I think 3 is going to put even more than 10,000. And if you go from 1,000 to 10,000, that's a tenfold increase. So that would make the 3 would resist 100,000. 4, 1,000,000. It's like, wow, yeah. Do you get it? The corporate anointing can do so much more than what an individual anointing can do. By yourself, you are powerful. The Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of us and dwells on the inside of us, and you are a powerful entity because of God individually. You can overcome the devil. Well, actually, that's not a whole lot to brag about. Sinners can overcome the devil. Huh? If you don't give him place, he doesn't have any. The devil doesn't have power. He's got intimidation and trickery. And so if you think he has power, he's got power. If you resist him and don't give him place, he doesn't have place and he doesn't have any access to you. Now that's a revelation for some people, because you've been playing with the devil. You've been playing, oh my, 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 he's so bad, he's so awesome. He is nobody. He is a fallen angel who thinks he's God. He's just a fallen angel. He doesn't even have the authority a normal angel has. If you take the lowest angel that God has, the devil doesn't even begin to compare to him. And you are created, and when you're born again, you are in the image of God. So the devil has no power over us. But we look at all in the negative, and we're giving Satan place when he doesn't have any. Now, that's just you individually. Woo, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, you can. But I'll tell you, if you get someone to agree with you, whatever two bind on earth or release on earth will be bound or released in heaven. That's a corporate anointing. You can be a blessing individually, and you can be blessed individually. But once you step over in that corporate anointing, once you can get two or three to agree with you, once you can get a congregation to agree, once you start all flowing in the same direction, I mean, there is so much stuff that we can do that you can never do on your own. See, wouldn't you love it if I would preach, and then I'd run to the back, and every time I get a new scripture, I punch the button at the back and put it up on front, and then run back up to the front. You'd say, Gordon, why don't you get someone to help you? Now, but that's how we are with faith in God. We're trying to do everything by ourselves. God blesses you, but he has created you to be part of a body. He's created you individually to belong to the corporate. Okay, let me give you a couple scriptures on this. I'm trying to go fast. I'm trying to just hit a couple of the high places. I'll just say it. We are the part of the body of Christ. Even I think it's Ephesians. I'm going to really jump around here a little bit. I think it's Ephesians. I've got my scriptures all in order. Go to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It says, and he put all things under his feet, God the Father put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church, which is his, Jesus' body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. See, we're a member. We're a part. When we're born again, God places us in the body. And that body is the body of Christ. It's not an organization as we think about it, but it is a living entity of the body of the person of Jesus Christ in the earth. And you and I are brought into that individually, but we're brought into that corporate body. And in that body, we can go through this. You probably all know this and understand it without a whole lot of depth. But the hand cannot do what the feet does. If I tried to walk on my hands, you'd say, well, that's cute for a circus trick, but Gordon, why are you walking on your hands? Because God gave you feet. Well, see, that's if I'm just a hand and say, well, I've got to do it all, my hand's going to try to see, it's going to try to grow hair, it's going to try to walk, it's going to try to do all these weird things, and my hand wasn't designed for any of that. My hand was designed with a specific purpose in mind. You know, you see these alien movies and they always have these three fingers. Do you know you cannot operate hardly anything with three digits? You've got to have five. You've got to have five. You can manipulate a lot with five. That's why we don't have four. That's why you don't have six, because six is just one too many. You know, you've got five. God perfectly designed the hand to do what the hand can do. And he gave you joints and feelings. You know, you can, with your finger, you can feel a bump on a surface. And when you run your finger over it, it seems huge. But when you look at it, you can't even see it with your eye. But your finger can feel it. Your finger can pick it out. Now, see, if the hand says, I'm going to be a foot, you say, well, that's just stupid. But yet in the body of Christ, we are all members, but we're placed to work in a body and to work with each other. See, if I'm called to be a part of the particular part of the body, which you are, and I try to do something else, it just doesn't work. And if someone else tries to do my part that I'm supposed to do, that doesn't work either. It takes every part doing its own. Now, I think this is interesting. It is his body, the fullness. When we come together as a body, as a unit, we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of God is revealed in the church. And you say, well, it's not doing too good. I know it. Why is that? It's because the church is not his church. We have approached everything on an individual basis within Western Christianity, and we've lost the concept of the whole. This is why the Catholic Church has power. You may or may not agree with all of their doctrines. You may or may not agree with all of our doctrines. But in the Catholic Church, they are all one church. You say, well, how can that be? Well, there's a charismatic Catholic Church, there's the Healing Catholic Church, there's the Franciscan Friars Catholic Church, there's all, but see, they've kept it all under one umbrella. One of the great things that the Catholic Church has done is just because you come up with a different belief or a different emphasis, not a different belief, but a different emphasis, they don't kick you out. In the Protestant Church, you know what where Protestant came from? We're protesters. We were protesting the Catholic Church. We were protesting this and protesting that. And we are so divided among the Protestant Church because we're just protesters. And sister, I want to tell you, if you don't agree with me, we'll kick you out. Well, how do you grow the church if you keep kicking out the hand because the hand's not the foot? Well, I think everybody ought to be the foot because we need to walk with Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We walk with Christ. We walk. Hands don't walk. We don't need hands. We're going to kick all the hands out because we don't like hands in the body of Christ. Well, you just killed the corporate anointing. You just destroyed it. And you could say, well, God just doesn't want those kinds of people with us. No, you don't want those kinds of people with you. Because those kinds of people will make you think corporately instead of selfishly, or independently. Notice how I slipped that in there. But it's our own pride that keeps dividing the body. And we keep dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing. When we started Living Faith, I did not want to start a denomination, because officially, technically, that's what we are. We are a denomination of one church. That wasn't my goal. And when we got kicked out, and we went to the national level, and the national level wouldn't back us up. And I tried to talk to them and went through a whole bunch of stuff. And I said, show me in the bylaws. Show me in anything in that denomination that you can do this or have that authority or anything. Because I thought we were congregationally controlled, because that's what they always talk. And they said, Gordon, just believe me, we can do it. And I knew some of the people. I knew some of the top people in the denomination. And I called them up personally and talked to them and says, show me where you have the authority to do this. And he says, Gordon, just believe me, we can. That's because it's not in the denominational handbook. They just, we're going to do whatever we want to do, and you just, you know, you're one person, so we can just run over you. Well, that's not a way to operate a church. So, I was even offered by the denomination, and get this, I was offered by one of the top guys in the denomination, Gordon, start your own church, and after several years, petition to get back in the denomination. We will make you a national church to where the district has no control over you. And I told him, his name was Ralph, I told him, I said, Ralph, if we do that, if you won't back me now, why would you expect me to come back in the denomination for a few years down the road that you might not back me then either? I mean, if you're not going to stand up for me now, why would I leave and then come back in just because you're going to support me then in the future, but you're not going to support me now? I said, Ralph, that doesn't even make sense. He was just silent. Gordon, do what the Lord's told you to do. It's that easy. See, we're missing the corporate because everything is so individual. It's so personalized. And even in the Word of Faith movement, even in the charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement, whatever you want to call it, it's like, boy, if you don't believe exactly like we believe, it's like, man, there's a diversity of understanding of Scripture. There's a diversity. And it's not wrong. It's just different. It's just we come from a little bit different perspective, a little bit different vantage point on it. And yet we want to condemn everybody that doesn't agree with us. Well, good luck with that. There's the individual and there's a corporate anointing. And God wants us to come up to this corporate anointing level that we could be his body in the earth. Let me go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I think I'll go ahead and close with this scripture. Good thing is I've got next week's message done. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is who the Bible says that we are. Now I want you to listen to this. But you are a chosen generation. Okay, chosen generation. To be a generation, you've got to be more than one. Now, you are chosen, but you're also part of a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Not a royal priest, but a priesthood. This is a whole group of priests that we're a part of. We are a holy nation, a holy people. That's more than one. His own special people. That's more than one. I mean, we always say it like this. You are the apple of God's eye. I am too. All of God's thoughts center on you. You are always on God's mind. So am I. So who's God's favorite? Well, from your perspective, you'd better say you are. From my perspective, I'm going to say I am. Because I've got a direct line to God. And some of you will say, oh, I wish I had that. You do. Because we're all the apple of his eye. But we limit ourselves to where it's got to be individually. But God is looking at the bigger picture too. He sees his body in the earth, of which you're a part of that body. And God is as interested in his body coming together as he is in you getting to heaven. That's a big statement. He's as interested in his body coming together as he is in you going to heaven. And see, individually, I just want to go to heaven. I talked to somebody this week. They called me up on the phone and they said, I just want to get out of here. I just want to go to heaven. I said, well, God didn't get you born again so you could go to heaven. He got you born again so you could be part of the body of Christ in the earth. Well, I guess so, but I want to go to heaven. It's like, if I fulfill my part in the body of Christ, I'm automatically guaranteed to go to heaven. But if it's just between me and God, I could miss it. Now, you'll think about that because I don't really believe that. But at the same time, you'll walk around in so much condemnation because it's all about you. And because you're so focused on you, you'll miss what God is doing to put you in the body of Christ, who is the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's go on, 1 Peter. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, if I'm doing my right place, my right thing in the body of Christ, and I'm busy doing his work, I get to proclaim his praises. See, this is now in the individual part. Because I'm in the body, because I'm doing what God has called me to do, I can sing his praises. I can glorify God. I can lift him up because he's called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10 says, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. That's more than one. See, it goes from the corporate to the individual. Because if you know what you're doing and you know it's for God and you know you're doing the right thing, God will bless you. And you can say, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, I am in your will. But if I'm not doing my right thing in the body, one of the big lingering questions that hangs over is, how do I know the will of God? Well, let me give you a simple kind of a blunt answer on it. You'll never know if you're in the will of God if all you're doing is what you want to do and you're just busy doing your thing. Because the will of God is for you to love people. And the will of God for you, we won't get into this today, but the will of God for you through the church, there's two major duties of the church, is to make disciples and to teach people to observe the Word of God. That's the two main goals of the church. And if you're just looking at you individually, you might not do that. We know of one family that came to church and said, I'm an evangelist. Hallelujah, I love evangelists. We need an evangelist. We need people to help us get stirred up and win the loss and reach out. We need that. And I asked him, I said, would you come, since you're attending church, would you come? Would you do an evangelistic meeting? Would you teach us how to do this? No. He said, I do it. I don't want to work with the church. Excuse me? He said, no, I just do this on my own. I'm just out there, and he goes to different cities, and he does different things, but it's all his ministry. And the sad thing is, the way he's doing it, he never ties anybody into a church. Because he doesn't value the purpose of the church. So he's getting people born again. And we said the other week, a lot of people are tags on the body of Christ. They think they're part of the body of Christ, but they're just this little tag that just hangs on. And they're just getting enough blood to hang on, but they're really not contributing to the body of Christ. They're just a hanger-oner. And he's creating tags on the body of Christ because they're not getting locked into a church. And I'll tell you, in every church you go to, now you can decide where you are on this. In any church you go to, they say 10% of the people support the church through their contributions and through their involvement in the life of the church. 10%. Well, what does that mean? It means if you have a church of 1,000, you've got 100 people that are actually supporting the church. The other 900 are tags. Can I say that? Now, praise God, our church is different. Because on a good Sunday, I haven't taken a head count, but on a good Sunday, we'll have 30, maybe even 35 people in church. Hallelujah. Well, if we go by the 10%, that'd be me and Debbie and one other person who are doing all the work in the church and supporting it financially. Praise God, that isn't true. Now, this is how I like to kind of judge the church. We'll have 12, sometimes 14, either in Bible study on Wednesday or church on Sunday night. They say if you get 5% out on an evening service, you are doing great. So I look at that and say, we got a church of anywhere from 120 to 180 people. Because that's how many of you are dedicated to come to Bible study and dedicated to come to church. So you've made a commitment. But there are so many Christians that are just willing to come and be fed. And we'll get into this later. They're willing to come and be fed, but they don't want to be a disciple. Now, okay, I'll do that and then close it. When Jesus called the crowds together, remember he fed the 4,000? Then another time he fed the 5,000? And if you read the scriptures, he talks about he fed the crowd. It's like, well, where were the disciples? The disciples were passing out the fish and the loaves. And the majority of people would rather be in the crowd than passing out the fishes and the loaves. They'd rather be fed than feed others. Is this hitting home? They'd rather have everything centered upon them. Now, the neat thing is the crowd gets healed, the crowd gets delivered, the crowd gets blessed, the crowd experiences financial prosperity, abundance, peace of mind, shalom. The crowd gets all these things. Why? Because they're listening to Jesus and the word works for them. But what they're missing out is the disciples get all of that and they get to be with Jesus. I don't want to be a disciple. That tells me that you just want to be blessed, but you don't want to be a blessing. That tells me, to some degree, you're self-centered. Is this okay preaching? It tells us that we tend to be self-centered as a people, and it's all about us getting our needs met, where Christ came that he could be a servant of others. And if Christ be fully formed in us, part of that is that we have a servant mentality, that we're here to bless other people. And it's not about what we do for ourselves, but it's what we do for others to help people. Now, don't make this legalistic. This isn't a legal thing to do, but it means that I'm willing to sacrifice myself for the sake of others rather than put me first and sacrifice others. And I could give you a lot of examples on that. But it's learning how to live for someone else. Listen, when you became a Christian, you began to live for somebody else. The calling on your heart as a believer is to live for Jesus Christ. It's no longer about you. Paul says, I've been bought with a price. The life I live is not my own, but it's Christ who lives in me. This is the life of a believer. And I'm telling you, there's pastors, there's churches, there's elders, there's deacons, that it's all about them. You know, their church attendance is all about them. Their salary is all about them. What they do is all about them. Ooh, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And they could care less about the body of Christ. And I know some prominent ministers. I've been around some of them. That you can tell by the way they preach, it's all about them. We went to a ministry event out in Seattle years ago, and they had a guest speaker, and the guest speaker got up and preached, and it was so funny because I was so impressed the first year he was there. He took paper, and he says, I put all these notes together on the airplane, and well, God just told me to tear them all up. So he says, I'm going to get rid of them, and he literally wadded up the paper and threw it away. And then he had a tremendous message. I mean, it was really, really great message. I still have the notes. Great message. Next year, he was so good, and people liked him. They brought him back the next year. So he gets up, and he says, God gave me a message on the airplane for you. But right now, God's telling me to tear that up and throw it away. And so he wadded up the paper, and he threw it away, and preached almost word for word the exact same sermon he preached the year before. He didn't get invited back next year. It's like, you got to be more than a one-message person. And if I told you his name, he is well-known. His church is tremendous. It's growing. It's doing all kinds of things. But yet, this showed me it was about him, and he's just doing a presentation thing. He's just doing it. And a lot of people are being blessed. But it's like, it just raises questions in me that I don't want to raise. You understand what I'm saying? And God's calling us to be a servant of people, to put others before us. And that's moving from an individual anointing to a corporate anointing that we could be filled with the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. Amen. That's a preview for next week. Let's stand up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Father God, we give you praise. We thank you, Father, you are the God who anoints us individually and corporately. Father, that we could break through our own personal issues, but Father, we could cause a breakthrough in the earth. And I thank you, Father, we don't have to be perfect in every area of our individual lives in order to be a blessing to others. And I thank you, Father, you've put a call on every believer to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we all have different parts. We all have different ways that we do this. But I thank you, God, that you have put an anointing on every single one of us to share the love of God, but also, Lord, to minister, to not just witness individually, but to minister to people through the corporate anointing of the body of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we give you praise for this great calling that you have put upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.